Good evening, everyone. I'm keeping it quite light tonight. You'll be glad to know Sunday nights aren't for the heavies. So last week I was over at Lidl, and Lidl has been known for some time in my house as my Lidl Waitrose, because I shopped in Lidl before Lidl was trendy to shop in. And when all my friends were going to Waitrose, my boys used to say, "I'm going to Lidl Waitrose." And so people just thought I was saying, "I'm going to Lidl Waitrose," and I just let them think it. My friends used to have similar little words that they used to say. So my friend used to say to her children, when they said, "Oh, what should we have for tea tonight?" she'd say fish goujons, and they were having fish fingers. But if they ever mentioned it at nursery, they'd be having fish goujons for the dinner. So I was over at Lidl, and this little shop was rather eventful. It was really busy over there last week, and I was just getting on with my shop and concentrating on my list when out of the corner of my eye, I saw this little red dancing flash beside me. And I turned around, and I was face to face with Spider-Man. And I knew he was Spider-Man because he was dressed from neck to feet in a Spider-Man outfit. Didn't need a mask. In his head, he was Spider-Man, and I thought he was Spider-Man. So this gorgeous little boy of about four was firing these webs off obliviously to, you know, oblivious shoppers. And so I was pushing my trolley, and he came past me and fired a web. And so I just walked past him, and just as I was about to go past him, I just ejected my own web all over him. And he was thrilled. And for a couple of seconds, we were in a web battle, full-on web battle, in the middle of Lidl. And everyone thought we must have gone mad, but I just didn't really care. And a few seconds later, his dad took him by the hand, giggling, and the web battle was over. And I needed to get my chickpeas anyway. But the war was not won. And every row, I'd come across him, and because he knew, I knew him. Buy the yoghurt. And we had a web off, and the trip was just much quicker than I'm used to. And as I'm unpacking my trolley in the car, oh, I've forgotten a prop. I'll bring my prop. As I'm unpacking my trolley into the car, I suddenly turn into Wonder Woman, because I'm just getting my final bag out, and it was the tins. And I'm just getting the bag out of the car and out of the trolley and into the back of the car. And just as I lift it off, my trolley goes flying down the car park, down the slope. And I'm no longer Spider-Man, I'm Wonder Woman. And I'm running down what can only be described as in a Peter Kay-like fashion down the car park, and just managed to get my trolley before an incident happened. Who knew Lidl could be so tiring? And I pull out of the parking space, and my car starts beeping at me. Eep, 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 eep. One of my passengers isn't clicked in, but I'm in the car on my own. And my bag, my heavy bag. My car thinks my bag's not strapped in. And I'm not surprised, because my bag's full of just in cases. Just in cases. So my notebook, Tom's got my notebook, my just-in-case notebook, just in case I've forgotten my list. My just-in-case diary, in case I bump into someone I need to make an appointment with. My glasses. My spare pair of glasses, just in case the other glasses aren't working. My alpha book, just in case I get a chance to read it before next Tuesday. My sunglasses in October. Tissues. Oh, my little bag full of just-in-cases. My just-in-case bag of allergy tablets, pens, headphones. Another set of headphones, just in case my first set of headphones aren't working. And my miso soup, just in case a kettle happens to be boiling in the middle of Lidl and I get a bit peckish. My bags of just-in-cases. So I don't strap the bag in. I just do what I did there, just chuck it on the floor. And off I go, and I'm exhausted. Put the bag in the footwell, and off I drive off. Jesus says, don't take your stuff with you. Don't take your stuff with you. Take no bag for the journey. No bag of just in cases, or an extra shirt, or sandals, or a staff. Don't take baggage with you, he says. Travel light. So my shopping trolley just flew down as I took the heavy bag out. My car stopped stressing as soon as I took the heavy bag off. So what are we carrying that's weighing us down? What are we carrying that stops us being free and keeps stressing us out? And our baggage comes in all forms, doesn't it? The mental, the physical, the environmental, the social. We just carry stuff that weighs us down, the just-in-case stuff, the stuff we've always had in our bag that comes heavy. And we don't often empty the old stuff out. The old orange. I think that was an orange. I forgot to empty that out. Forgot to empty everything out in here. These are from years ago. Forget to empty it out. We just keep carrying it all around. And we don't empty it. And Jesus says, do not worry. And some of you who are at the 10 o'clock have been aware that I've had a bit of a worry baggage myself over the summer that I've been working on. I've been carrying my worry around like I've been carrying my just-in-cases. And you get so used to it, you forget about it. You forget how heavy it becomes. And the thing you carry for you might not be worry, but it might be a different emotional baggage. It might be, I'm not enough. I don't have enough. I'll never be enough. I'm too short. I'm not intelligent enough. So this summer, I've been choosing to let God take control and to trust him. And I've been like that shopping trolley with getting the bags removed. And every time I choose to trust, the pressure on what keeps me in one place gets removed and it allows for the wheels to move. And my little friend in Lidl was travelling light. He knew who he was. He was Spider-Man. He didn't need his mask or a bag. Who he was in his head was enough. And he acted like it. And because he acted like it, the people around him trusted that he was Spider-Man and treated him like he was as well. So before the piece of scripture we've just heard, Matthew's gospel has an astonishing block of action from Jesus, where we see a huge amount of miracles take place. And right after, Jesus tells his disciples to go and sends them amongst the lost of Israel, the Jews, assuring the disciples that they have everything they need. They've seen Jesus at work. And so he says, I've given you authority. And he knows that they've got everything. They trusted. They had the clothes they walked in and the authority to heal. And they were sent. And they were effective. So let's look around the room. How many of us are here tonight? 20? Imagine if we, the people in this room, became as impactful as the disciples. But to be effective, we must go. So where are we going? And where are we sharing the news of God? Shane Claiborne, the Christian activist, said, when it comes to the word mission, we either need to go big or go home. He goes on to say, either we stop using the word mission, or we need to start commissioning everybody out as missionaries. The nurses, carpenters, taxi drivers, school teachers, engineers, we are all disciples on a mission. Let's send them out to share God's love and change the world. Let's send them out. So I don't know about you, but when I first became a Christian, my world looked a bit like this. I don't know if it's going to come up. So the big circle was my non-Christian life, and the little black circle was my Christian life. It was out there in the world. And then now I think it's the reverse. And it's something that I've become really conscious of. The black bit is the rest of my life and the white bit is my Christian life. And it's something I'm trying to do something about because as Christians, we're so countercultural and I want to step out my comfort zone and become immersed a bit more in the secular culture. Unfortunately, what seems to happen is that we're going home to our home groups, our churches, and we're not going out. So our world shrinks and we end up just looking at other Christians and all a bit confused. So I'm challenging you. If we're to follow Jesus' example, we need to be looking out so we all don't end up in the body of Christ looking all a bit like this. So as the disciples, Jesus said, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit. And if we're to follow these disciples, we need to trust and we need to be looking out. The disciples were fully reliant on God for their words, for their clothes, their food, and their lives. Are we? I'm not. I say I'm reliant on him, but old habits of strategizing and planning and directing and carrying my just-in-cases, they take hold. And so tonight is my very simple message. Tonight I'm challenging all of us to step into discomfort, to pray that we would find comfort in our discomfort. Because if we are God's arms and feet, if we are his body, if we know, like Susie sang, that we are a child of God, may we look outwards and make our worlds bigger than they currently are. May we be fully reliant on God. That's a frog, everybody. Fully reliant on God. And because we have nothing that is weighing us down, may we then go. Amen.